While you're turning there, I just want to say it is always, always an honor to come here. I love coming to By His Word Christian Center. Pastor Jan always gives me a great honor of being able to preach the Word of God freely here. And it is wonderful to preach here because you guys are hungry. The Bible says that whoever hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they shall be filled. You guys are always hungry. And because of that, it's easy to preach the gospel here. God pours out an abundance of His blessing and His Spirit and His Word. And that's because you guys are hungry. And that's a spiritual law that I talk to people about all the time. That whoever hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they shall be filled. So every time you come into service, you need to come in hungry. I'm not talking about just when you have a guest speaker. I'm saying all times. If you come in hungry, you will be satisfied by the Word of God. You ever go into a service and it's phenomenal and you go out and you go, wow, that was an awesome service. That was absolutely incredible. And the person next to you goes, it was okay. That's because they weren't hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Okay? So if you hunger, God will supply. He will satisfy you with the Word of God for you today. And I do this often. I'll look around. I'll try to find those that aren't hungry. And I say, God, I'll take theirs too. Because God said He would satisfy those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So stir yourself up. Go ahead and stand to your feet for me. Keep your Bibles with you, so to speak. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray, and I want you to pray with me. I want you to actually pray in the Spirit. I want you to stir up your spirit, man. Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. We thank You for Your presence, Your power, Your anointing, Your unction, Your Holy Ghost. We thank You for the Word of God, which is going to have free course, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, for the liberty that You've given us and the power of Jesus Christ. I thank You for the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens, God. And I thank You that these are sons and daughters of Yours, Lord God, that are going to hear Your Word, receive Your Word. They're going to do Your Word and bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank You for the Spirit of God in this place. I thank You for the power of God in this place. And I thank You for the Word of God in this place, God. I thank You that there are men and women that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, God. They're no longer satisfied, Lord God, or complacent or apathetic. But God, they're stirring themselves up in the gifts of the Spirit. They're stirring up the gift of God that is within them, Lord God, that they might do the very will of God and be blessed, Father. We thank You that we are anointed for this day, this time, this season. Come on. We're anointed for this day, this time, this season. Doesn't matter how dark it's getting out there. God has anointed us, Lord God, for this day, this time, and this season to overcome by faith. God, we thank You for the victory. We thank You for the Word. We thank You for the power. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your glory. And we thank You that You will always watch over Your Word to perform it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. You may sit down. Praise the Lord. You have my permission to jump up, shout, scream, dance, run across the aisles, leap over the pews. I've done that myself here. It's a great experience. Pastor Jan said he didn't think you could get him to do that. You know that with God, all things are possible, Pastor. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 15. I guess I should turn there. Genesis chapter 15. I want to talk to you about violent faith. Violent faith. The Bible says in Matthew that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The word violent means living and active, or actively living. It means those that are actively living out the kingdom of God shall take the kingdom of God by force. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, as the Word of God says. In other words, it doesn't come with passivity. You don't just kind of say, oh, come see, come saw, whatever. You know, if the Lord wants it to come to pass, it will. No, no, no. Passivity won't get you anywhere in the kingdom. Living actively the kingdom of God and the things that Jesus told you to do, you will aggressively take the kingdom of God. Jesus said that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And so if we're passively waiting for things to happen, they will not happen. And I'll tell you why they won't happen. There's three reasons why they won't happen, at least three reasons. Number one, you have a carnal nature that won't allow things just to happen. Number two, there are other carnal people running around you that don't like things in the kingdom to happen. Sometimes that's your wife. I'm just kidding. It's your friends. It's just people around you. And thirdly, there is a devil running around the world seeking whom he may devour. Okay? There's three reasons why things don't happen if you're just passive about it. So you have to be actively living whatever God told you to do. So look in Genesis chapter 15. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. What has God promised you? What is the personal promise that God has personally come to you and spoken to you? Abram, God spoke to Abram. He says, hey, I'm your exceedingly great reward. He said, I know that's nice, but God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? See, I want a child. I want a family. I want something to pass my lineage on to. I don't want to just have great exploits in the world and in the kingdom of God and not be able to give that to somebody else. I don't want to just do it and have it die with me. I want what I've got to pass on to somebody. What has God promised you? What has God spoken to you about? Turn over to Matthew chapter 8. Would you believe in a miracle today? Would you believe me if I said I'll be done by noontime? O ye of little faith. Matthew chapter 8. I want you to look in verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed at that same hour. My question for you is this. What is it that you are believing God for right now? Don't ever let your faith get lazy. See, you need to always constantly be exercising your faith and causing it to grow. What are you believing God for now? And not just what are you believing God for now, but also what are you doing about what you're believing for? See, this guy right here, what if he had done what so many Christians do? Sat in his home, he's got a servant at home that's dreadfully tormented, he's paralyzed, and he's just hanging out at home, and he says, well, you know, if it's God's will, you know, maybe something good will happen with it. No, this man actively pursued Jesus. He got up out of his house, he took off, and I don't know how far he had to travel, but he went across the place, probably had to hop up a couple pews like some wild man that I know. And he went across and he found Jesus and he began to pursue Christ and he talked to him and he said, listen, just speak a word and my servant shall be healed. What happened? This man had faith, but he did something about the faith that he had. What are you doing about the faith that you've got? I began to speak to a friend of mine, Bill. Since this is airing, I won't tell you his last name. Bill, I talked to him about the same thing. I said, Bill, don't ever allow your faith to get lazy. I said, you need to be believing God for something. Now, Bill is dogmatic. He's very black and white. He's like, what is that show? That dog Astro on the Jetsons. Astro did exactly what you told him to do. So you'd say, George Jetson would tell him, Astro, get aboard. You know, he's saying, get on the ship. Astro would go, all right, George. And he'd run out and he'd come back with a board in his mouth. He did exactly what people told him to do. Bill was just like that. We used to call him Astro. So I said, Bill, don't ever allow your faith to get lazy. You need to be believing God for something. He goes, okay. And I'm like, all right, praise God, man. This is going to work, man. This guy's going to do something. He comes back to me about 3 weeks later. He goes, Jeff, I've got it. I said, okay, Bill, what do you got? What do you believe in God for? He goes, well, I'm believing God for this woman named Ginger. And I'm going, oh no. Bill hasn't done all that well with women. He's, you know, I mean, he's a great guy, loves God. He's absolutely a phenomenal guy. But, you know, he's talking about this girl, Ginger, and he starts laying out the history for me. They had started seeing each other, but he was moving around and she was, I think he was traveling around and she was in one location and the relationship really could never solidify like he wanted it to. She was a Christian, he was a Christian, and, you know, it just kind of faded away. I said, well, Bill, where's she at now? And he goes, oh, she's living in, I think she was living in Georgia at the time. I said, oh, that's great. And I said, so what are you doing about that? He goes, well, I got a couple obstacles. I go, what's that? And he goes, well, she's getting ready to move to Florida because she's getting engaged to her boyfriend. And inside I'm going, I'm smiling at him like, you know, waiting for the punchline. And then I realize it's Astro. There is no punchline. He did exactly what I told him to do. And I'm smiling on the outside and inside I'm going, oh my God, I have shipwrecked his faith. It's over. Because this ain't going to happen. He'll never get her. She's getting engaged to a doctor. Now the Bible does say don't covet your neighbor's wife. Which he was in a good position. He was fine because she wasn't somebody's wife yet. She was just about 30 days from being somebody's wife. So I'm freaking out. Now I have to fast and pray. Oh my God, what have I done? God forgive me. But no, not him. He keeps going after, keeps going after. Now listen, all he does is he starts placing a couple phone calls to her. And then he goes out and he keeps updating me. Jeff, here's where my faith is at. And I'm just going, oh man, what have I done? Oh my gosh. He goes, you know, when I was traveling, he goes, Jeff, I bought this car that was perfect for her. And I'm going, oh, you know, you're starting to sound like a stalker. This is not good. This is not faith. This is get borderline illegal. What are you doing? He says, yeah, man, I found a card. It's perfect for her. It's beautiful. And I'm like, oh my gosh. He goes, I've already written in the card. I'm like, oh no, this is not good. This has not got a good ending. He says, and here's the deal. Here's my fleece. I'm like, I don't even believe in fleeces, man. What are you doing? But I can't shipwreck his faith. I've put him on this path. So I'm like, okay, I'll walk him out through this thing. And when it fails, I'll just show him how to, you know, believe beyond the obstacles and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, well, here's what I've done. I've got this card all written. And here's what, and he told me what it says. I've missed you. I believe God's going to bring us back together. And I'm like, oh, you are just a psycho. Some of them other Christians I've seen. What are you doing? So he writes his card and he says, I'm going to go ahead and send it off to her. And I'm like, oh, don't do that. I don't even know what to say. And he says, no, I'm going to go ahead and send it off to her. So he sends it off to her. And he goes, and here's what I'm believing. Before she gets the card, she's going to call me. And that's going to be a sign to me that God is moving on my behalf. I'm like, oh, it's over. It's over. I've shipwrecked his faith, his whole family lineage. They'll go straight to hell because of me. That's it. It's over. He calls me up 3 days later. He goes, guess what happened? I go, oh, here we go. He goes, when I got home from the airport, he goes, there was a letter. He goes, in my mailbox. And he goes, and not only that, there was a message on my answering machine. He goes, who was it? I go, was it Jesus telling you to repent? He goes, it was a message from Ginger. I go, oh, what'd she say? She's got like a police report that says stay back. What'd she say? He goes, no, she just was very cordial and we just talked a little bit. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about this. I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord, man. That's faith, brother. Step out. You do it. Don't stop until you get everything you want, brother. Come on. I believe in it. So they're talking and conversing and she's pretty serious about this relationship. She's getting ready to move to Florida. He's a doctor and she's a nurse and they're going to have so many kids and it's all going to be wonderful and hunky-dory. And I'm, you know, she's walking me through the whole story. Time goes by. They keep conversing. They keep talking. She starts going, you know, I'm not sure about this whole wedding thing. Maybe it's moving a little too fast. And you know, I'm really close to my mom. I'm not sure I want to move to Florida yet. Now the wheels of faith are in motion. And time goes by, and Bill calls, and they're talking and conversing, and they set up a time to fly out and meet somewhere together, and they have dinner together, and they spend the night talking with one another, and of course they go back to their separate quarters, and then because they're Christians, and they come back together the next day and talk more and converse, and they start reigniting that flame that was there. And then about a year later, they gave me the honor of standing before them and to do their vows and do their wedding for them. Don't ever allow your faith to get lazy. What are you believing God for? What has God spoken to you? And what are you doing about what God has spoken to you? Because I want to show you that according to the Word of God, you can't just believe, as so many like to say. You have to do more than believe, because there's certain things about faith that happen. According to Romans chapter 10, it says that faith comes by hearing. We know that. Faith does several things. One of the things faith does is, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that faith believes. He who believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth shall be saved. So faith believes. That's one thing faith does. According to Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, he shall have whatever he says. So faith believes, but also faith says. And then in Thessalonians, it talks about that your faith grows exceedingly. Faith can grow. But what I hear so very little about is the thing that God has laid on my heart to begin to talk about today, and that is faith also does. Faith does. Okay, I want you to look at something here. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 14. James 2, 14. Hallelujah. James 2:14. Everybody said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody didn't say it. We're all going to say it again. So everybody said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There you go. James chapter 2. Look what it says in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Here's what he's saying, is that faith without works is dead. In other words, you show me your faith by your confession, but I'll show you that I am a living, active being, acting out the faith that I have in God. That what God has spoken to me, I have put feet to my faith, and I'm doing something about what God has spoken to me that he's going to fulfill. See, the evidence of me as a believer is not what I say out of my mouth. The evidence of who I am in Christ is based on the lifestyle that I live and the things that I perform in my life. That is how people know that I'm a Christian. People don't know I'm a Christian just because I confess it. Because there's plenty that confess that they're Christians and still go down to the nightclubs. There are some that confess they're Christians and go commit adultery. But they know that I'm a Christian because Jesus said, by their fruits that you shall know them. In other words, by their outward activity, the things that they produce in their life will show you that they have a living faith and their faith is in Christ. People, faith without works is dead. What are you doing with the faith that God has given you? And what are you doing about the thing that God has promised for your life? Faith without works is dead. See, what I do in my life is evident that I have faith in Jesus and that I am walking according to the purpose and the promise that He has given me. What are you doing about your faith? Years ago, God spoke to us when we were living in California. I had a great paying job, big chunky money. I was the right-hand man in the company. I mean, I was promised a great future. But God began to lay on my heart to begin to preach the gospel and to begin to talk to me about traveling throughout the nation and eventually go and do missions. So we went into a season of studying and praying and preparation. See, I believed God on that word. But then, guys, what I did was I got up out of my belief and I began to put feet to my belief. I began to get in the Word. I began to pray. I began to fast. I began to make phone calls. You say, well, if it's God, He'll, lay you on somebody's heart. No, listen. Faith without works is dead. I began to study missions organizations and evangelistic organizations and talk to people about how the advancement of the gospel is taking place and what churches are doing what and studying the different denominations. Why? What was I doing? I was with my faith showing God, I believe what you say. And there came a time when it required faith for me to move because God said, son, I want you to uproot. I want you to join YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. In some cases, people think it's youth without any money. And God said, I said, how are we going to do this? And he said, I will support you the whole way. You're going to resign your job and you're going to uproot you, your wife and your three kids, and you're going to move across the state. I said, great, where are we going? Because originally I wanted to go out of the nation. And God didn't let us. He said, no, 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 you're going to go to Frederick, Wisconsin. I go, where's that? Where's that? Here's how big it is. They don't even have a McDonald's. That's a problem for me. I'm into the Golden Arches. I like French fries. So we had to sell about 75% of our things. We had to put some things in storage. We had to load my wife and three kids in a Chrysler LeBaron that had about 150,000 miles on it. We had to load our trunk full of whatever we could put in there, put stuff in the back window and stuff on the floorboard, and that was it. My wife quit her job. She was making great money. I was making great money. I quit my job. I sold my little truck, and that was it. We were on the road, and we were heading across. Why? Because I believed what God said about my life, that I was going to preach the gospel, travel the nations, and reach people for the kingdom of God. Faith without works is dead. If I just sat in my room and just prayed, oh God, one day. No, faith without works is dead. What are you doing about your faith? See, I got a daughter that's 13 years old. She is beautiful. She's mature looking. Most people think she's 16. All you young men, go to your room. Plug your ears. As far as I'm concerned, you think she's the ugliest thing you've ever seen. She's gorgeous. And she's got, the only thing that surpasses her outer beauty is just like her mom, is her inner beauty. She's a beautiful young lady. But this young lady has got a golden heart and she loves to sing. And you know what she told me the other day? She said, Dad, what's the fivefold office? I said, the fivefold office is the apostle, pastor, preacher. I'm sorry, pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher, and evangelist. She goes, oh, and then she walks away. I'm like, hey, you know, any dad that, you know, hears his daughter say something like that, he's like, hey, hang on. I want to hear what you're saying. I go, come back here. And she goes, I said, why do you ask that? And she goes, well, she said, the other day while I was singing, she goes, I heard the Lord speak to me. And I said, what did he say to you? She said, he said this term called missionary evangelist. You know that brings tears to a daddy's heart. You know that does. I said, really? She said, yeah. And that's it. She just walks out of the room. That's her. She's just so nonchalant about it. She's like, she'll walk and go, oh, you know, Dad, I prayed for my wrist and it had a big lump on it. And it went down when I prayed for it. It's gone. See you later. She just walked away. I'm like praying and fasting. I want signs and wonders. God, help me. No, she just walks in. Yeah, Dad, I laid hands on the dead, raised them, and they're alive now. See you later. A problem with that. She wants to be a missionary evangelist, but at the same time, she's also got this incredible voice that she says, I want to use this voice for God. I want to sing songs. I want God to give me songs that will come from the throne that the world can use and the world can be touched by it. So what is she doing? Faith without works is dead. That young lady goes down to the Christian bookstore. We get her CDs and she listens to the soundtracks, tries to find out what songs that she can sing, songs that'll touch her heart, songs that she can get in her heart and that she can sing to people. It'll touch their hearts. And then just yesterday, she's so nonchalant, it bugs me. She went into a competition yesterday, and I didn't even know about it. And she told my wife yesterday, she goes, oh, by the way, I'm going to this thing. Would you mind if I go to it, Mom? They're having a singing competition. So Nanette's, oh, yeah, well, you know, she kind of gets the details on it. And finally she says, well, she goes, yeah, you can go to it. And Nanette calls me at 9:30. Well, it was 9:30 back then, about 6:30 our time. And I said, hi, how's it going? She goes, well, did you get my voicemail? I said, yeah, what's going on? She goes, well, your daughter went into this competition and she won. I said, what did she sing? She goes, well, they had a bunch of songs there that were all secular songs. And, you know, of course, all the typical, you know, secular songs. She goes, but she decided, no, I'm going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. She said she sang that song, man. Those people started screaming. They went crazy listening to her. Why? Because faith without works is dead. This young lady is going to grow up. She's putting her feet to work. She's putting feet to her faith. And she's doing something with what God has spoken to her about. She's exercising that voice. She's getting soundtracks. She's already got a recording on a CD. Faith without works is dead. What are you doing with your faith? What are you doing with your faith? Faith without works is dead. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Actually, I'm sorry, turn to Luke chapter 6 first. Luke chapter 6. I want you to look in verse 46. Hallelujah. You guys are going to rise up and do some great things in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 6, look in verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. Everybody says, hears my sayings and does them. I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I have talked to more Christians that have been shipwrecked primarily because they did not put feet to their faith. They waited and waited and waited. I have talked to men that are 55 and 60 years old. I say, what has God spoken to you? What is God doing in your life? What is the purpose for your life? And they say, well, God spoke to me about 45, 50, 60 years ago, and he said this. I said, what are you doing about it? And they said, well, we're just waiting on the Lord. I believe in waiting on the Lord. I do. I believe you wait to hear the word of God. And then when you get that word, I believe you get up off your knees and you start running the race with endurance that Christ has set before you. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. I believe in prayer. I'm a man of prayer. I used to pray 2 hours a day when I first got saved. Wouldn't even read the Bible. I didn't understand it. I'd be a man that prayed. But I believed in praying and then getting up and doing something. I would read the scriptures a little bit, and then there came a time when God began to reveal scriptures to me, and I started studying and reading the word, and then I'd get a word, and I'd say, okay, here we go. Jesus, you said, go make disciples of all nations. I go, okay, I'm going to spend time praying. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to go make disciples of all nations. Jesus, hallelujah. I thank you that they're out there. And then I'd go, here we go. And I'd just head out the door and start finding people and preaching the gospel to them. See, faith without works is dead. You've got to do something with what God has spoken to you about. Our finances were in trouble years ago. Nanette and I had a radical, radical debt. And we were so frustrated because every check was, I mean, it wasn't even like we were ever in the black. We just kept going further and further in the red. We didn't have any money to go eat an extra meal or take the kids out to a movie or buy any extra toys. It was a very frustrating position to be in. And a man came through our church one time and he said, you know, he said, some of you are tithing on what you make. He said, but maybe what you want to do in order to get out of trouble is start tithing on what you want to make. I looked at my wife, I said, you know, that's a word from God. And I said, she goes, well, I don't know. And I said, honey, you want to go shopping? She goes, honey, you know, that's a word from God. Faith without works is dead. Now, here's what happens. Commonly, we just do this. We speak. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you're going to bless our finances. God, we don't have much now, but I praise you that you're going to bless our finances. God, there's going to be an abundance coming in. God, you always provide our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you supply and multiply the seed that we have sown. God, we thank you for it. Well, let me tell you something. Faith without works is dead. We sat down with the calculator and said, how much would we like to make? And we figured out what that was, and all we wanted was this. We were so bad off. All we wanted was enough to pay the bills every month and enough to go to dinner, a nice dinner, and maybe go out to a movie or something like that. That's all we were asking for, and to get something for the kids. That's it. But it was still a lot more than we were making. So we figured what that number was, and we began to write checks based on that number. We would hand those checks in and we'd say, Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you've supplied the seed and you're going to multiply everything that we have sown. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you're increasing our finances. Our bills will be paid every month. And God, I praise you that we'll be able to go out on a date, go out to dinner, and do something nice for our kids every single month. Faith without works is dead. So what happened? 6 months later, I was standing in my office and my boss walked up to me and we started talking about major projects that were going on. And after I started, you know, we conversed for a while, I got ready to leave and he goes, oh, by the way, very nonchalantly, he goes, oh, by the way, he goes, I've been thinking about your pay and he goes, I think what I'd like to do is I'm going to bump up your pay 20%. I said, well, hang on a minute. I'm not sure that I want you to do that. Because I had to get the calculator out and make sure it was the amount that I was, you know, tithing on. And he goes, well, really, you don't have much say in the matter. That is what I'm going to do. I said, okay, well, you know, you're the boss. Go for it. So he did that. And I'm calculating, and on the way home, I'm like, oh, yeah. Woo! That's it. Jesus. Man, praise the Lord. We are making exactly what we tithed on. See, faith without works is dead. And then about 6 months later, we did it again. We're like, ooh, this thing works. Let's put a little more feet to our money. So I started saying, Lord, I want to advance your kingdom. I want to sow into missions. I want money left over so we can send money to missionaries. So we figured an amount and we began to tithe on that amount. You know what? 6 months later, out of the blue, he walks up to me again. He goes, yeah, you know, I don't know why. He goes, I've just been thinking about your pay. He goes, I think I'm going to bump it another 20%. 1 year. Two raises, 20%. In a time in the late 80s, early 90s in California, when CEOs were losing their jobs, they were making $125,000 to $150,000 a year. They were losing their jobs and having to file bankruptcy. I was getting 20% raises twice in 1 year. See, faith without works is dead. What are you doing about your faith? I want to show you something. Turn over to the book of Romans. Look at verse 16. I'm sorry, Romans, verse four, chapter 4, verse 16. Romans 4, 16. Very familiar scripture. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Raise your hand in here if you are of the faith of Abraham. For those of you who aren't raising your hands, if you put your faith in Christ and believe the only way that you can get saved is by putting your faith in Christ, that is the faith of Abraham. So, we all agree we're of the faith of Abraham, right? And the Bible says, and he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Most people stop there. But I think upon further examination of Abraham's faith, I think you're going to see Abraham had a little different faith than just believing God. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Probably the biggest test of Abraham's life. It says, Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you, which I shall tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and the two of them with the young men went with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now this is the faith of Abraham unfolding right here. The faith of Abraham is not just I believe. The faith of Abraham is I believe and I go do. He doesn't just speak it out, he does it. This is the faith of Abraham. Then it says in verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abram took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Faith without works is dead. Most of us want to confess our way. And what's happening, guys, is I have met a numerous amount of Christians that are disillusioned with the faith because all they've been taught is that faith is a confession. And they have never been taught that faith is also doing. Abraham has the biggest test of his life, the only gift that he ever asked from God: "Give me a son." And God says, "Then lay him down." And the Bible says, and Abraham did as the Lord said. The faith of Abraham is not a confession. Or I should say, it's not just a confession and it's not just believing. Men and women, the faith of Abraham is doing. Look what it says. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Now here's what happens. Most people want to live a life of confessing it and speaking it, and I believe in that, but they don't want to live a life of doing it. And when they don't live the life of doing it, they have people around them that say things like, "Oh, well, that's okay because God knows your heart." That nice little statement, which is nice, but, you know, and I agree, yes, of course, God knows your heart. But we cannot avoid what it says here in verse 12. It says, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God." When did God know that Abraham feared him? Not until Abraham obeyed God, took his son, bound him up, tied him up, put him on the wood, and pulled the knife back and got ready to slay his son. That's when God knew that he feared him. What does God know about you? What does God know about you? The Lord told me to fast one time. This is years ago. Lord, because I totally obey God all the time right now. You know I'm kidding, big guy. Years ago, this guy, I was fasting, and I think I was on like a 3-day fast or something like that. And I had totally forgot that we had committed to going to dinner with these youth pastors. And we're going to a restaurant. We'd already had it set up like a week ahead of time. I completely forgot about it. So we went to the dinner and we're sitting there. And you got to remember, I'm a fairly new Christian, incredibly dogmatic about what I believe. That whole thing about do not let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. You know, when you fast, put oil on your face, smile. Don't let anybody know what you're doing. So I'm at the crossroads of dilemma here. I'm sitting at dinner with these youth pastors and I have this tormenting thought going through my head. Don't let them know what you're doing. So how do I not let them know what I'm doing if I'm not going to eat? And if I eat, I'm going to break my fast with God. What does a man do? Oh my gosh! I'm freaking out. So I decide that it's better not to let them know what I'm doing. So I just went ahead and I partook of the food. And here I'm eating, I can't even enjoy the dinner now because there's such horrifying conviction on me that I broke my fast before I was supposed to do it. And, you know, God's most likely ready to slay me when I walk out of the restaurant and, you know, it's over. You know, hell is waiting for me. Satan has entered me and I'm like Peter and, you know, tormenting Jesus and all that. I'm just in torment. And so I can't even enjoy my dinner. I'm just eating like this and, you know. And they're looking at me and they're like, "Jeff, what's the matter?" I said, "Well, you know," I said, "to be honest with you guys," I said, "you know what, I just feel terrible." And they said, "Why?" And I said, "because we'd already made these plans with you, but God told me to go on a 3-day fast, and this is actually the third day, and I broke it, and I wasn't supposed to do it." And here's what his words were to me, just to comfort me and just to be a good friend. He said, "Oh, listen, hey, that's okay. God knows your heart. God knows your heart." What he told Abraham was, "Now I know. Now I know." People say, "Well, God knows the heart. He knows all things. But God, right here, you can't get away from this scripture. It's not until you actually obey the Lord that God knows what your heart is all about. You can't say that God knows that you love Him if you don't do something to show Him that you love Him. In other words, guys, God's evidence that you love Him and that you have faith is the actions that you do, not just the words that you say. We sang a song today, it's "Show Me Your Way, Darlene Sheck, That I May Walk With You. Show me that your way." The cry of my heart is to love you more. I was singing that song and singing that song and singing that song. This is several months ago. And I'm like, you know, "Oh Lord, I just want to love you more. And, you know, show me your way that I may walk with you, and show me how to love you more." And He said, you know, it says right there in John, He says, "Those who love me keep my commandments." I used to get frustrated because I couldn't express to God enough. I'm like, "Oh, it's just so in me. God, I just want to tell you how much I love you. But the words just fail me." He's not looking for words. He's looking for action. "Those who love me keep my commandments." 1 John says that, it says that, "By this we know that we know Him. We keep His commandments." What are you doing about the things that God has spoken to you about? Where's your faith? And what does God know about you today because you obey the Lord? See, I'm convinced that you are the mighty men of God in the earth, set up for this day, anointed, appointed in the power and the word of God to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. And I just think it's going to just take us just to rise up and say, "God, we love you, but not just in word, we love you indeed." See, because faith believes and faith speaks, but faith also does. And when faith does, God moves. In verse 13 it says, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants.'" Why did God decide to bless him? Because of this thing that Abraham did. Now, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says this: faith comes by hearing. It's true. But you know what? In James it says, "But he who does the will or the word of God, the blessing comes upon him." Faith comes by hearing, but the blessing comes by doing. I want to show you two more scriptures. I want you to turn to James chapter 1. What are you doing with your faith? James chapter 1. I think if we start defining faith as believing, saying, and doing, and we just, when we say doing, meaning obeying, I think if we define it that way, there are certain verses that'll mean a lot more to us, such as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "Without faith, it is impossible to believe God." Without faith, without seeing, or without believing, speaking, and doing, it's impossible to please God. See, people want to say, "Well, it just pleases God if you just believe." Well, okay, let's try that on for size. Jesus, the world's in dire need of you. You need to go save them. There's nobody on the earth that's perfect. They've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I need you to go down and be the sacrificial lamb. Your blood is royal. You need to go down there and live and be and never sin. And your blood, son, is going to set all men free. And Jesus says, "Well, praise the Lord, Father." Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm the Savior of the world. All mankind is going to worship me. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, you've made me the deliverer. I'm the deliverer. I'm the great and mighty Jesus. My blood, there's, look at that royalty going in that blood. Man, there's just royalty all over me. Woo! Mankind, I'm the Savior of the world. Me! Yeah! Woo! I'm the Savior of the world. Day after day. Father finally looks at him and says, "Son, would you get down there and do something about it?" Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you know that the Bible says about Jesus that God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased"? And do you know that that was before he actually supposedly did any miracles at all? Before his ministry started. It was when he got baptized and came up out of the water, right? Well, why was God so well pleased with him? Yes, because he's a son, and I completely understand that. But Jesus believed, Jesus spoke, and Jesus did. He left heaven, and he came to the earth. And God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Why? Because without faith, without believing, speaking, and doing, it's impossible to please God. Well, I believe in heaven. That's nice, because in James it says even the devils do. And they aren't going to heaven. James chapter 1, it says in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." In here, God has spoken to some of you about missions. Now, how do you put that into action? Do you have a passport? And do you have a bank account? That's called putting faith in motion. Some of you God has spoken to and you've desired, "I want to lay hands on the sick." Here's how you do it. You talk to Pastor Jan. If you're in the youth ministry, you talk to Pastor Ted. And you say, "I want to start praying for sick people." Well, when they ask you, "Well, why do you want to do this?" Because, "Oh, I felt the glory hit me." No. No. Uh-uh. No, 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 no. Faith without works is dead. I told the men this weekend, I said, I went to a conference to speak, and we had a prayer meeting at noontime, and the conference was at 7 p.m. We got done praying, we were in their sanctuary, and they were all getting ready to leave. I said, "Can I pray in here for a while you guys leave? Because I like to pray alone." They said, "Yeah, sure." They walked out of the sanctuary. I walked around praying for quite a while. And then I looked back there, and I noticed a wheelchair. And I kind of was like, I want to lay hands on people in the wheelchair. I want them to get out of the wheelchair. And the Lord says, "Faith without works is dead. Go do something about it." So I went back there, got the wheelchair, and I drug it up here, and I put it up front. And the Lord said, "Start praying." I said, "Ha kano ma ase ba koro ba ashi ikit." And he goes, "No! No, 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 no. What did you say you wanted to do?" I said, "I want to pray for people in a wheelchair, and I want them to get healed and rise up and walk." He said, "Well, start praying." Raso tokono ma, "No!" He said, "Is there a wheelchair in front of you?" I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Start praying for the people in the wheelchair." I said, "Lord, I don't know if you've noticed this, but there ain't nobody around here. There's nobody in that wheelchair." And he said, "You call those things that be not as though they are." So I looked at the wheelchair and I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And I started doing that. And I felt an unction. Then I felt the power. Woo! I went, "Look at them running. Woo, Jesus, they're going all across the aisle." He said, "Son, don't get too excited. Keep doing it." So I walked up again. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Boom! Boom! I felt that unction again. "Well, I'm getting good. I'm getting used to this. Come on, rise up and walk." And I did it 10, 15, 20, 25 times. I did it about 35, 40 times. I just threw it so hard. I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And I was sweating while I was doing it. After a while, I started looking around going, "Is anybody in here looking at me? Because they're going to cancel me as the guest speaker for this conference if they see me." See, most of you are like, "Woo, faith." Some of you are mad at me right now. You are. You know why? Because carnality hates the work of faith. And you think what I'm doing is foolish. But I'll have you know that it is no different than what God does. The Bible says faith without works is dead. The Bible says God speaks those things that be not as though they are. So I drove, one day I woke up and I said, "Jesus, today I'm going to go out and I want to find somebody in a wheelchair and I want to pray for them today." I should have finished the whole thing, but I said, "I'm going to pray for them today." And I said, "Now I'm not going to a hospital because I know there's plenty of people there. I'm not going to a hospital. I said, I want it to be of you. I want them strolling down the street in a wheelchair. Just like out of nowhere. So I drove around Troy. This is in Ohio. Drove around Troy, Tip City, you know, Vandalia, Versailles, and Piqua. I'm driving all over 2-3 hours. And I'm frustrated because I can't see anybody in a wheelchair. Like it's normal for people just to be, you know, rolling around the highways on wheelchairs. So I'm frustrated. And finally, I headed back home. And then about an hour later, I had to go pick up my wife. So I drove down Main Street, and I always go down and turn left. Well, I took a left a little bit earlier this time than I normally did. And when I turned right, here's this girl pushing her brother in a wheelchair down the street. Not on the sidewalk. She just pushed him down the street. Now my flesh rose up and I'm like, I can't do this. What have I done? I've spoken those things that be not as though they are, and I don't know if I are what those things be not. I mean, I'm freaking out. So I pass him up, and I'm ignoring Jesus. Don't talk to me right now. I don't need to hear you.
Look back behind you, son.
No, God, we put our hand to the plow. We never look back. I saw his hand go like this. I'll whip you. No. Don't you ever use my word to disobey me. So I was like, I looked in the mirror and I saw her pick her brother up. He's like 19 years old. He's frail. He had lost a bunch of weight. She literally had to lean over in the chair. She picked him up over her shoulder and had to readjust his pillows. And I looked at that. I went, oh, you are satanic if you don't go back there. My gosh, what's the matter with you? So I back up and I go and I say, hey, hi, how you doing? She's like, can you imagine a guy like me, howdy doody looking and, you know, I'm here to pray and spitting and screaming and. She's like, she's holding her brother over his shoulder like this. She's like,
should I run now?
Yeah. She's like. So I said, hey, listen, you know, I'm a Christian and I just wanted to let you guys know, I want to pray for your brother. And so I said, but I have to go pick up my wife. I said, where do you live? She goes, we live in that house right there. So I'm going to come back and pray for your brother. She goes, okay, sure, whatever. So I came back and picked up my wife and dropped her off and I drove back to the house and I went in there and I'm shaking. I am scared to death. I'm just scared to death. I go in there. I laid out the whole gospel to him. I told him about Jesus. I told him about the Word of God. I told him about Christ dying on the cross for their sins. I told him that God's got a better plan for their lives than they ever could imagine. I told him that He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. Because I'm trying to tell him all the salvation stuff because I really don't want to get to the praying thing. That really put my faith on the line. So I get to all that. And finally, I look at him. I'm like, man, I got to pray for this guy. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray for your brother. Laid hands on him, prayed and prayed and prayed, and I believed God as much as I could possibly believe God for them. Now, I got done. I'm literally sweating. I got all done. He did not get up out of that wheelchair. He did not. People say that's a faith failure. No, it's not. I'll tell you what a faith failure is. When you believe in something and you don't go do something about it, that's a faith failure. Why didn't he get up? I don't know. We have a miracle anointing in our church. Every other month, we do a miracle service at our church. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, cancer is being destroyed, tumors and goiters drop off, and yet there are some come in that have blind eyes and deaf ears that still walk out that way. There are some that come in deaf, they get healed right there, they've heard for the first time in their life, and 3 days later, they lose it. Why? I don't know. And I'm not afraid to say that. Say, well, you shouldn't be praying for, listen, I'd rather do something than nothing at all. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You want to theologically figure it all out? Well, when you get it all done, about 80 years from now, let me know. But until then, we're going to pray, we're going to minister, and we're going to put feet to our faith. By the way, here's what I heard from God after I did that. I walked out beat up, frustrated, discouraged. Why didn't he get up? And I hear these words from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. I said, how can you possibly say that? He did not rise up. And I want to raise the dead? I can't even get him out of the wheelchair. You know what he responded to me? Well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because faith without works is dead. Let me show you one last scripture. You don't even need to turn there because you all know this scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And it goes through and it says, you know, girding yourself up in the armor of God. Actually, it says, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Let me give you maybe a new meaning. Having done all that Jesus told you to do, believe, speak, and do. After you've done all that, stand your ground. And when that scumbag devil stands in your face, say, no, I'm not budging. Because one of the things I did was I studied the word on faith. Lord, you've got to let me know that I can live this thing out. You've got to let me know that I can walk by faith. You've got to let me know that you provide for me just like you did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Otherwise, I am not leaving California. And when I solidified that in the word of God, when God pronounced it to me, declared it to me, revealed it to me, and let me know that you can live by faith and I will make it work. When he did that to me, I went to do the missions thing and I knew that no matter what rises, hell or high water, I'm there because God has told me to. And when that stuff rose up, I looked it right in the face and said, I've done all to stand and I'm not budging. You're going down and I'm going through. And that's exactly what happened. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. And then it says, it starts talking about the armor of God. And it says, shodding your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then it says this verse, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How does that shield of faith extinguish all the fiery darts? Well, it does it because you believed, you spoke, and you did. Because that is very symbolic of what we read in Luke chapter 6 where it says, and you built your house and the storm came and it could not knock it down. Your faith is the faith that will extinguish fiery darts when you believe it, when you speak it, and when you have done all that you can do. And the rest is up to God. I don't believe that you make it all happen, but I do believe you got to put steps to your faith. Because faith without works is dead. What has God spoken to you about? Here's what I'm believing. That the things that God spoke to you about are going to reignite in you. That the promises He's given you are going to reignite in your life. And that, guys, listen, it is this simple. Whatever God spoke to you, put feet to it and start doing something about it. You say, well, God has spoken to me about being a very successful real estate investor. Then put feet to it. You need to get magazines, you need to call real estate agents, and you need to start checking the market on investing in property. That's putting feet to your faith. That's doing all that you can do. Believing it, speaking it, and doing it. God's called me to missions. You got to get a passport and get a bank account. Don't wait for Pastor Jan to say, hey, we're going to send you overseas. No, no, no. That's not faith. That's relying on His faith. You rely on your own. In fact, a brother of mine said, I want to go on a missions trip. And God spoke to me. He said, son, you want to go on a missions trip? He goes, get a passport. He procrastinated. Faith without works is dead. You know what? He had a situation that potentially could have been brought incredible life, and it died right before him. Why? Because faith without works is dead. He never got a passport. A man was going overseas to the Philippines, and he walked up to him one day, and he said, listen, I've had an emergency. He said, I can no longer go. I've already talked to the airport. I can get the ticket switched over into your name. If you've got a passport, you can go to the Philippines, and you can leave in 3 days. Faith without works is dead. He never got his passport and he never went to the Philippines. Now I know. Now I know. See, God knows I have faith to pray for people in wheelchairs. Now He knows. Well, it failed. Nope. Now He knows. What does God know about you? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Just simply lift your hands right where you're at. And all I want you to do is remember what God spoke to you about. And ask Him, What steps now am I supposed to take for the faith that you have given me and the things that you have spoken to me about? What am I supposed to do? I want to believe it. I want to speak it. But now, God, I want to go do something about it. Come on, stir up that gift of God within you. You talk to God. Because it's all between you and Him. Nobody will fulfill your vision except you and God. Father, we just honor you. We praise you. Lord God, I just think these men and women are ready. I think they're ready for faith. I think they're ready to do. I know they've been ready to speak and they've been saying and believing. But God, I believe that some of them are ready to do. I believe some of them already have been doing, and I thank you for it. But Father, let us look at faith in the true realm of the faith of Abraham, which was Abraham did as the Father had spoke to him. Abraham did as the Father spoke to him. Hallelujah. Is there a young lady named Erica in here? Is there an Erica in here? And if there is, you're going to have to probably wave your hand or stand out in the aisle. Erica. There's no Erica in here? Is there an Erica? Wait, let me do this. Okay, is there an Erica in here? No Erica? E-R-I-K-A, not E-R-I-C-A. Okay? Not a problem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and close your eyes. Faith. God, I pray for these people that you would ignite their faith. That there would be people that see, people that speak, people that believe, and people that do. Lord God, these are your people. They're your sons, your daughters. You've chosen them for this moment and for this time. God, I thank you for it. Hallelujah. I thank you for it. I thank you for them. I thank you for your power and for your presence. Lord, thank you for the glory of God. Jesus. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Can I have your hand right here? Give me your hand. Thank you. What's your name?
Charlene.
Charlene. Hallelujah. Father, yes. Nice mind of Christ that you have going there. Thank you, Jesus. The power of God flowing through that mind. You have ideas that have been coming from God. Don't stop them and don't shut them down. Keep thinking. Keep pursuing. Keep pressing in. I see a fire in your belly being birthed even now. Actually, it's a churning and a tumbling fire. And I see, hallelujah, the fire, the fire, the fire. Yes, God, I bless her in Jesus' name. Yes, God. Prayer, prayer, prayer. You are a woman of powerful prayer. Don't take your prayers lightly. Don't you understand that when you pray, God listens. And when God listens, God moves. When God moves, things happen. Intercession is a very, very powerful thing. Let great prayer take place in your closet in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God. I'm only going to pray for a couple people. What's your name, sir?
Pete.
Father, I thank you for Pete. I bless him, and I thank you, Lord God, for your hand, your provision, your anointing, your accounting on his life, Father. We thank you for it. Jesus, the blessing of finances, Lord, shall increase in his life. And I see that God's going to open these ears to hear more clearly the voice and the word of God. Yes, God, increase. Finances, increase. Increase, increase. Yeah, I don't know much about you, but I can just tell you this, that God wants to increase the giving in your life because he wants to increase the finances of your life. People sometimes have it backwards. They say, I want my finances to increase, and so I give. Well, God's saying, I want you to give more, so I want to increase your finances more. So, Father, I just bless him, and I ask, Lord God, that you would help him to discern the amounts that to purpose in his heart, how to give above tithe, Lord God. Because, Lord, you said it's the tithing and the offering that brings the blessing, Father. Lord God, increase them, increase them. You, what's your name?
Pat.
Pat, hallelujah. The both of you,
There's this thing about wisdom. The Lord says, ask of me wisdom, and I shall give it to you with liberality. God will give you the wisdom for the decisions, the life-changing the decisions that you have to make. Wisdom is available. Seek God, ask God, and He'll pour it on you abundantly. Father, we thank You for them. And Lord God, concerning health in this body, Lord God, we just announce and declare that she shall live all the days that You've numbered for her. She's blessed and not cursed. She's healthy and she's not sick. Lord, she's going to live above and not beneath. The hand of the Lord be upon her from the crown of her head to the heel of her foot. Lord God, I thank You that You're opening her eyes to see marvelous things from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, Father. And we thank You for it, Lord God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. What's your name?
Carmen.
Carmen. Oh, yeah. You told me you married Carmen. That's right. Hallelujah. Father, we bless her. We thank You for her in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Carmen, you're a woman of God. You're a daughter of the King. You don't necessarily feel significant. You don't feel like you're of that great of use. But God says that I love you. And I look at you, you're precious in my sight, and you are the apple of my eye. The Lord says that when the enemy touches you, he touches the very apple of my eye. Therefore, I'll strike out against him, and I will not let him have his way in you. You are beautiful. Your heart is precious. Your heart is precious, Carmen. Don't believe what the devil says, because the Bible says he's the father of lies and there's no truth in him. Carmen, you are beautiful to Jesus. He considers you to be what is called a bondservant. That is a servant who was purchased by a master and had to work off their earnings or whatever. They had to work off their the debt that they owed or whatever it was. But when it was all over, that servant had the ability or the opportunity to leave. But that servant loved the master so much that that servant went to the doorpost, put his ear to the doorpost and pierced that ear through. And that was a sign to everybody around that I am with my master because I want to be and not because I have to be. I'm with my master because I love my master. And here's what the Lord says, that love, perfect love casts out fear. So this fear is going to leave. In Jesus' name, I curse the spirit of fear on your life because Carmen, Jesus loves you with a perfect love, honey. He loves you. He doesn't care what you've done in the past. You've repented of it. You've renounced it. It is a done deal. Jesus doesn't look on the past, honey. He looks on the present and He's bringing you into the future. Carmen, you belong to God. You're fresh. You're brand new. You're pure. There's a fair mitre on your head, honey. That means you're clean. You're pure. You're unadulterated. You are pure in the eyes of God through the blood of His Son, Jesus. You belong to Him and your mouth speaks beautiful and precious and wonderful things. Carmen, you are a mighty woman of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Perfect love cast out fear. Hallelujah. Strength, Father, I bless her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Great gatekeeper of love. You care for one another more than most people know. You are a woman of great concern and great care. You're going to start refreshing others more than you've ever believed, more than you've ever done. How does it start? Faith without works is dead. So you're going to open your mouth and you're going to find something nice about somebody and you're going to speak it. And the Bible says those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You'll be like a Barnabas as a woman. In Jesus' name, you'll be like a daughter of encouragement in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord God, thank You, Father God. I pray in the name of Jesus over this man and woman. May their latter days be greater than any of their former. May all their sons and daughters, their family, may they serve God all the days of their life. Lord God, may they rise up in the fire of God. May You answer every prayer that they have uttered according to Your will. May You ignite their faith, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Let their sons and daughters, let their family lineage be tied up with the things of God and the glory and the power of God. Lord God, Your love shall not fail them, not even in their latter days, God. Hallelujah. And I pray for an increase of finances to comfort and strengthen them, God. In the name of Jesus. Son, I have not forgotten You, says the Lord. The Lord says, don't ever let the devil try to cause you to forget what's been behind or try to forget what I've done for you in the past or try to make you think that what's happened in the past has eliminated you from the present or the future. I, the Lord, and the Lord that restores what's dead, I raise. Oh, the Lord says that I bring to life those things that have been dead. In Jesus' name, the Lord strengthen this man. Bless him abundantly. Lord God, light a fire in this man in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hey, young lady, come here. Give me your hand. What's your name?
Christina.
Christina. Hallelujah. Come here, Christina. Hallelujah. Like the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. Christina, the Lord says that you have a great strength and a great character about you. Now, I don't know anything about you. I don't know what your past is. I don't know if you're full of sin. I don't know if you've done a bunch wrong or if you've done nothing but live holy all your life. But here's what I know, that when God comes, He proclaims who you are and not what you used to do or what you used to be. You are solid and your strength is in the Lord. The strength is in the Lord. The Bible says that God will strengthen you with might through His Spirit in your inner man. You are going to have a deep relationship with the Holy Ghost. Prayer and praying in the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues is going to be an abundance of powerful things. The Bible says in Jude verse 20, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And here's what I hear you saying. God, how can I grow in you? How can I be strong in you? How can I be like them? How can I do this? How can I be strong? And the Lord says, pray in tongues. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Ooh, hallelujah. Young lady, Jesus loves you. And He knows that you love Him. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. In the name of Jesus, pray much in the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. There's one over here. I gotta. Put some fire in that one for me. Hallelujah. You're the one. Give me your hand. Hallelujah. Father, we bless her and thank you, Lord God. God says, don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry. You can't change one thing by worrying, says the Lord. But believe. You know what overcomes worry, concern, and fear, anxiety, all those kinds of things, is the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you will saturate yourself with the Word of God, the Word of God, whatever your challenge is, whatever you're going through, as Joyce Meyer says, she says, make a study out of it in the Word of God. And God's Word will obliterate that fear, anxiety, and anxiousness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The strength of the Lord be upon them. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for them. You guys married?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Bless their home. You have children? Hallelujah. Father, bless their home, bless their lives, bless their children abundantly, Father God, in Jesus' name. I see two fountains coming out of you guys. It's one fountain out of each of you. See to it that the fountains that come out of you, the Bible talks about, he talks about, cursing and blessing trying to come out of the same fountain. These things ought not to be and all that kind of stuff. See to it that blessing comes out of you, because in blessing I will bless you, says the Lord. In other words, speak life and speak life more abundantly to your children, to one another. Open your mouth and speak an abundance of great words. Look at one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another. Speak life into your children. Begin to proclaim their destinies. Begin to declare who they are. They might not listen to you, but you can declare it to the heavenlies, and God will take that and begin to declare it back to your children. He'll rescue them. He'll raise them up. They're mighty men and women of God. They belong to the Lord. They don't belong to this world, and they don't belong to the devil. They don't belong even to themselves. The Bible says they've been bought with a price. They belong to God in Jesus' name. And to all of you parents who have children that are not serving the Lord, the Lord says they're mine. I'm the one that created them. I'm the one that ordained them. I'm the one that appointed them. I'm the one that created them. I'm the one that fashioned them. I'm the one that's got them. They've been bought with my blood, and I watch over it. I watch over my word to perform it, and they shall not escape from the power of my son's blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Don't
give up. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. God won't quit. You don't ever quit. Don't quit. Keep believing. Put feet to your faith. Speak it. Believe it. And go do something about it. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. You guys have new levels of worship that you're going into, says the Lord. New levels of worship. New levels of worship. New levels of worship. Bible says when God is lifted up, He'll bring all men unto Himself. New levels of worship. God gave me a word. Actually, at the meeting, and I didn't tell all the people there because there were other people from other churches. But He gave me a word specifically for By His Word Christian Center. And He said, you guys have a phenomenal teacher as a pastor. He teaches the meat and He teaches the Word. Your appetite will increase to demand meat. And it'll be like a savory steak. And when you slice into that thick steak, it'll burst open and you'll see the richness of the blood of that steak. And the power of Christ's blood is going to be revealed to you. And you're going to know the power of Christ's blood in this place, over your bodies, over your circumstances, over your situations, over your finances. You're going to know the authority and the power of Christ's blood to rule over the works of darkness and to rule over the schemes of the enemy and to walk in the fullness of the victory of Christ in your lives. What does that mean? That means your pastor is going to a much higher level in the deep things of God. What does that mean? As the people, you now have to go higher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why it all raises at one time. Greater worship, greater word, greater meat, greater teaching. What does that mean? Greater victory, more souls, greater finances. All of it. It means everything at once.